You're listening to Radio Caravan with host Scott Hayes, healthy lifestyle coach Jill Harvey, and sound engineer April Johnson.
Come on.
Good morning, Laguna Beach. You're listening to KX 93.5, Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes, and of course, this is Radio Caravan. Hey, just a reminder, Radio Caravan broadcasts on Cox TV, Channel 3, 8 p.m. every Saturday and 12 noon every Sunday. 8 p.m. Saturday, that's tonight, and 12 noon Sunday, that's tomorrow. 250,000 cable subscribers in Orange County and Palos Verdes. Also, you can like us now on Facebook at Facebook, what is that called, / Radio Caravan. Jim is in the studio this morning. How are you, my friend?
What's up, Scott? How are you, man?
Good.
Big week. Big week.
In what way?
My daughter turned 18, my oldest, so I feel
really
old.
Wow.
And then one of my best friends from college, fraternity brother of mine, was confirmed as the next U.S. ambassador to Argentina.
Is that true?
True story. So I'm going to D.C. next week to the White House to watch them get sworn in, and it's kind of a cool deal.
Well, that sounds very cool. Is he a Southern California guy?
He is. He's from South Bay.
South Bay. And yeah. Does he ever come back to this area occasionally?
He's here quite a bit, but he's going to be heading off to Argentina in January for 2 years. So.
For 2 years, yeah.
That's cool.
That's a cool deal. So, yeah,
big accomplishment.
Yeah. Very nice.
Pretty awesome week.
Very cool. And, of course, that's Jill Harvey's voice in the background.
Morning.
And, of course, Sandy Ward, our food stalker, who is here this morning to talk to us about an event last night sponsored by Newport Beach Lifestyle Magazine. Do I have that correct?
That's right.
Lead us through that evening, Sandy.
What an incredible evening. Thanks to the boys here in the studio for their help. And Newport Beach Lifestyle Magazine celebrated their one-year anniversary. This was held at a gorgeous Spanish Revival home, similar to something that you'd find in Montecito, Mission Tiles, and just an $8 million home. Stunning, beautiful. And Tony Duquette was one of the greatest jewelry designers and design legends, really, in history. He had a one-man show at the Louvre. He designed things for the Duchess of Windsor, J. Paul Getty, De Laurentiis. De Laurentiis, yes.
Big name.
Gucci. He was a designer of fantasy, and his Baroque, you know, fabulous, big, fabulous, more is more. So I had the pleasure of meeting his protege, a gentleman by the name of Hutton Wilkinson. And we were there last night with him and had an exclusive interview, which hopefully you'll see at a later date.
You will?
Yes, he's the keeper of the legacy. And the wines were flowing. Joe Malone, San Lorenzo Wines.
Oh, I love Joe Malone.
Yes. Mm. Gorgeous body creams and make you feel sexy and fabulous.
Sexy.
And Settebello, have you heard of Settebello restaurant? Chef Laramie Bradbury was there. They're in Newport. Live jazz was playing under the stars at night. So it was just really an honor to interview him, and I was wearing an $88,000 necklace that I did not want to take off. I started to leave, and I still had it on my neck, and I thought, oh, my goodness, would anyone really notice if I left with this necklace? His workmanship, his craftsmanship, it's just unlike anything you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
It was very exciting.
Yeah, I'll bet, yeah. So, I mean, did you interview this individual, and how'd that interview go?
Yes.
And what did you learn about him or his skills?
Hutton started working with Tony Duquette at the young age of 17.
Uh-huh.
And started as an apprentice and then went on to work with him for 30 years. So he has really carried on his vision mm-hmm. and his work still to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And just a very colorful, fun, flamboyant gentleman. Mm-hmm. And you'll see more in our special interview, hopefully.
Yeah, that sounds great. And one last question, I guess. What's it feel like to wear, did you say an $88,000 necklace?
Yes.
What does that feel like?
It felt fantastic.
Were you nervous?
No, not at all. I said, can I have the earrings and the bracelet, too, that go with it?
Sure.
Was it heavy? Did it feel heavy? Or?
You know, you could feel the craftsmanship and the work.
Mm-hmm.
It felt a little heavy, some topaz, I think, and there were some black diamonds and different aspects of it. But I felt like Elizabeth Taylor.
Beautiful. Mm. And do we have anything coming up that you can talk about? Anything planned down? Because you travel in interesting circles, yeah?
I do. I'm just back from Naples. Mm-hmm. That's why my skin looks all dewy from the humidity down there with mom and my sister. Mm. But hope everybody had some great turkey for Thanksgiving, because we haven't reconvened since then. But we'll have lots of exciting things coming up for you.
That sounds good. All right. Thank you very much, Sandy Ward, our golf clap, Cyrus, our resident food stalker. Jim,
what do you got?
You got an $88,000 necklace for your wife this Christmas?
Yeah.
I don't, and so be quiet.
Okay.
Yeah, let's not say that. She might be listening.
All right. Hey, also in the studio, and I know we've all been waiting for this, what we called last time the big reveal. Ooh. We have actress, model, dancer, female bodybuilder Lauren Powers, who underwent extensive reconstructive surgery on the reality TV show Botched. And it was like $150,000 worth
something crazy like that.
Something crazy like that. So, I mean, tell us
again.
These
guys are really good. The doctors are just amazing, and they're worth every penny. As you can see, I'm just 19 days out of surgery from Dr. Paul Nassif did my face. Just like they call it a mini facelift and a neck pull. There's a bigger term for that, but I forgot what it's called.
That's okay. That sounds good.
Right? Neck pull.
Neck pull.
Not to be confused with tractor pull. And then Dr. Terry Dubrow did my breasts again. And so I actually went smaller this time.
You did, okay.
And I'm going to give Jill my extra.
Thank you. I want it.
They look
smaller. Really, really small there.
Yeah.
Yeah. See them glistening.
19 days out. Zero pain. I mean, you get what you pay for. I came through this thing flying colors.
Yeah.
I have an ounce of pain. In 3 or 4 days, I'm out running around town doing all the Christmas parties. And
yeah, well, you look beautiful.
It did slow me down a bit, actually.
Yeah, so. And so the whole reconstructive process, was it scary for you going in? And you were saying there's no pain that came out as a result of that either?
Well, it's always scary going under anesthesia.
I would think so.
It was almost a 9-hour surgery.
Wow.
Yeah, between both the doctors. But they said I woke up laughing and I was saying namaste.
Oh, good.
Not <That's> funny.
Figures.
And I went in with such a positive attitude, and I think that really helps. And I really trust them with my life, obviously.
Sure.
And came out the same way. I don't remember a thing.
Yeah.
They gave me the good stuff.
Right.
Seriously. And people came to visit me, and I didn't even remember.
It was just, I can't believe you don't remember. I was there
funny,
by your
Jill,
side.
You were the one in the sexy nurse outfit, right?
Here we go.
Love those fishnets.
Well, Jill, you guys have been friends a long time.
Yes.
And
we
so
are.
What's sort of your impression of the reconstructive surgery process on Lauren?
There are two things going on here. I definitely can see through her jawline and her neck, and her cheeks are higher. It's stunning.
Yeah.
I mean, really stunning.
You.
Your boobs don't look that much smaller, so.
Not to panic.
Unless you have them up really high. But what I'm really
good bra.
What I'm really amazed at is 19 days out, you said your neck was bruised, but... You're
for
not,
just a couple
and
days.
You told me why. Why do they think
well,
that is?
Well, a few things. Actually, both doctors did tell me that I'm the fastest healing patient they've ever seen.
Wow.
Ever, separately.
Yeah.
I went 2 days apart for my post-op checkups. And they both just flipped out of how quickly I healed. I did all the supplements. They told me the Arnica and tons of vitamin C. And then I'm also on the human growth hormone. And they both attest that we're healing, on or off camera, whatever.
HGH.
That works. HGH, I'm telling you, anti-aging, repairing the cells.
Yeah.
Just really, really is working for me.
I almost feel like
clearly myself's not fake.
I almost feel like your eyes pop a lot more now that your eyes.
I just woke up, Scott.
No, I mean.
It's an early show for me.
I know they didn't do anything to the eyes, correct?
No.
But something.
Just a lower.
Of course she's
just
tired.
My cheeks and neck.
Yeah, I mean, beautiful.
I think as the cheekbones are higher, it's going to emphasize the eyes more, too. It just looks stunning.
Yeah. When will this show air? Do we have any sense of that?
It's on season 2 of Botched on E! Network. Okay. And they're expecting a big to-do. They went from 8 episodes to 20.
Oh, wow.
And I believe the first episode is to air January 15th is what I heard. I'm not sure when my particular segment will air.
Uh-huh.
This point, we're still filming.
Okay.
In fact, my big reveal is coming up. This Saturday.
Talk about it.
December 13th, which is also my big birthday bash. It turned into my fitness show, so I've got a competition starting at 3 p.m. About 3 to 8-ish, something like that, will be the figure fitness, bikini, men and women's physique, bodybuilding, fitness show, tons of prizes, gifts, sponsors. I've got a Fit Expo going on at the same time. I have a bar that will be open for 5 hours from 5 to 10 p.m.
It's going
to
be
That's right. It's a huge bash.
Yeah.
It's Costa Mesa. It's at the Neighborhood Community Center. It's a Toys for Tots sponsored charity event. So bring an unwrapped toy.
Nice.
And you get in free. Yes, it is very nice. Yeah. Red carpet, dressed to impress.
Yeah.
It will be filmed on E. The whole team's coming.
Really?
You guys will be there.
Is our team going?
I'm coming.
Yeah. You guys are going to
be there.
Don't miss this. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. Scott, you're going, right?
Yeah. I think we're doing a show that afternoon, I know, out at Cut Fitness.
And then come on by after.
Yeah.
Because it's the big reveal, so, and I'll be in the gown and the whole to do.
Give us the date. Give us the time. Give us
December
the location.
December 13th, the fitness show. If you want to see the competitors compete,
good.
That's from about 3 to 8, depending on how many are there, et cetera.
Yeah.
And then the birthday thing will start right after with
excellent.
The reveal. Dancing. I've got the DJ, dance floor, bar, catered in food. Stacey's doing our catering.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she makes great food. And Toys for Tots. Marines will be there.
Nice.
Again, the whole production team, you will be on camera if you do come.
Yeah.
So dress to impress.
Lauren
Six
Powers,
80.
Very nice. You want to give us a double bicep here before we head out and show the big? There he goes. Come on, stand at the double bicep.
I haven't been able to train, but or do yoga, right, Jill?
Right, I miss you.
I'll be back.
How soon until you can start training again?
I've got to give it about 6 weeks.
6 weeks more? Wow,
yeah.
Look at that. Woo! Corey, make sure you get that shot.
Still there.
Woo! Round of applause here.
Guns in the house.
Check out the
app. Mama still got it.
All right. Thank you, Lauren Powers, for coming in today. Really appreciate it. And
see you December 13th.
Excellent. Yeah. Hey, you're listening to KX 93.5, Laguna's Only FM. I'm Scott Hayes. This is Radio Caravan. We're coming back after a 1 minute break, and we've got an interesting guest coming in, the actor, the singer-songwriter, Chris Mulkey. You may remember him from the movie Captain Phillips. I think he was in the TV series Twin Peaks, which, Jim, you and I were huge fans of Twin
Absolutely.
Peaks.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Crazy David Lynch.
David Lynch, yeah. We're back in 60 seconds. April, take us out with a little music, please.
Precious than gold, lightens any load, sung about in songs of old, talking about love. Part the seas, freed men's souls, woman made me whole, children come and call it home. Talking about love. Hey, if you lost it, don't mean it ain't near. You never had it, lend an ear. You can find it in a child's tear. Talking about love. Hold your baby close through the night, telling her everything's alright. Singing songs till dawn's early light, talking about love. Talking about love. Talking about
all right, you guys, are we rolling, by the way? I want to get rolling on this. So, did we break the computer?
I think I broke it. I'm not sure.
Okay, hold on here. There we go. Wow, that doesn't look good. All right, let's restart this whole thing. Is everybody up and running?
Yeah. We're good.
All right, listen. Great. You're listening to KX 93.5, Laguna's Only FM. I'm Scott Hayes. This is Radio Caravan. I'm in the studio this morning, of course, with my co-host, Jim Bastian. What did you think of Miss Lauren Powers?
She looked great.
She did, didn't she?
Yeah. No, yeah. It actually, the remarkable thing is it's only been 19 days. No bruising, yeah. No scarring. Everything was there.
Yeah. Are you going to her event next week?
I have a gala for Mission Hospital Foundation that same night. So I'll be down at the St. Regis.
Well, that's a worthy cause. Thing. Yeah. So, I mean, you'll be missed there, but it sounds like it'll be a fun party.
Oh, it sounds like it'll be great.
You want to talk briefly about the event down at Mission Hospital?
Yeah, no. It's our annual gala. Huge deal. Black tie. 600-700 people at the St. Regis. And you know, raise about $1.2 million, $1.3 million for the hospital.
Nice.
Here in Laguna Beach and Mission Viejo. So,
great.
Yeah, it's a great event. Big sponsor, Nolet family, the founders of Kettle One.
Yeah.
They've been huge. Carl and his wife have been amazing supporters of the hospital. They're kind of the title sponsor for that event, and bringing a bunch of couples, couple tables, limo bus.
Ooh.
It'll be a fun night.
That sounds great.
For a great cause.
Little Kettle One sippage going on.
Yeah, they've got the big ice sculpture and the ice luge, and kind of neat.
All right.
Yes.
I'm going to redo because I want to make sure we get the intro here. You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's Only FM. I'm Scott Hayes. This is Radio Caravan. I'm in the studio this morning with Jim Bastian. And, of course, our featured guest, one of our featured guests today, is the actor, the singer-songwriter, Chris Mulkey.
Welcome,
there he is,
Chris.
On guitar. You may remember him from the movie Captain Phillips, which was just on TV the other night. It just happened to be at the part where you had that great one-liner about, "I'm not." What was that one-liner?
I'm a merchant seaman. I'm not a soldier. I'm not paid to fight pirates. I'm not paid to fight pirates.
I'm not paid to fight pirates.
I said, I'm a union guy. My union doesn't cover that.
Hey, he's also been on Boardwalk.
Everything.
I mean, he's one of those faces you see all the time.
Yeah.
Definitely. Boardwalk Empire. Is that true?
Yeah.
24.
How about that? Me, John Voight and I. Yeah.
Yeah. And Twin Peaks. David Lynch's Twin Peaks, which the first season that came out, that was a phenom when it came out.
We had a good time. Yeah.
Yeah. What was it like working with David Lynch?
It was great. He's one of the greatest guys in the world. I mean, he's just really, really great.
Yeah. And then how about Tom Hanks? What was it like working with Tom Hanks?
Tom Hanks, one of the greatest guys in the world. They go in the Greatest Guy in the World Hall of Fame along with you, Scott.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
We just met, so I don't know. You know,
I'll aspire to get there.
No, but I've really great times doing it. I generally have a great time. It's unbelievable.
Well, we were talking at the break that you have a pretty nice lifestyle, it sounds like. I called you one day, you were out golfing. I called you another day, I think you were in a restaurant bar somewhere, or I don't know.
Yeah. Well, my band plays at House of Blues. Yeah. I play up there with Dr. Greg Davis and Mark Marcellino and those guys, and it's just a rocking good time. And Chris Adelman is, of course, a great guitar player who plays with me. And I mean, we have a great time. And then I just do movies and stuff like that. Rehearsing a play with my wife, Karen Landry, right now. And
you want to talk a little bit about the play?
Yeah, it's a great play at the Ruskin Theater, where I also teach and write and sometimes direct. It's at the Santa Monica Airport.
Mm-hmm.
It's been around for about over 10 years. The play is called Leaving Home. We open the third week in January, and we're getting a run-up on this thing, so we're starting early. But it's a great play about a family, traditional family in the 1950s, so it looks just like 1958. It's just freaky how they do that. Just the set and everything is just fantastic. And so we'll throw back, and the two sons want to leave home, and the parents, instead of saying, you know, we love you, we'd love to stay around, you know, instead of saying that, they go, you'll never make it out there, you got to stay here, you can't leave the house, you know, so they're always negative and pay the price for it. So it's great, but it's pretty funny too.
That sounds great. The title of it again is
Leaving Home.
Leaving Home, and we're going to look for that. I'm going to make sure I make an appearance at that. That sounds like it'd be a fun event.
I'd love to have you. They serve beer and wine at the play too.
Beautiful.
And you can bring it right into. I mean, I know you don't drink, so but
who said that?
For those of us who do, I'm Irish.
Hey, what was your involvement in the play though? Are you actually in the play?
Yeah,
I star in it.
I play the dad.
Oh, okay.
Well, actually, my wife stars in it, and I play her husband.
Got you. Okay.
But she stars in it. I also co-star in it.
What's your preference, live theater, TV, movies?
My preference is always to make money.
Working actor.
Yes, absolutely. I'm a union guy.
Yeah, there you go.
I am. Music? Wow, I really like music. We're playing in L.A. Live Monday, we have the 315 shot down there. So anybody who's down at the Nokia LA Live, come see us. It'd be like 4,000 or 5,000 people down there.
So, well, let's back up. I mean, we're here really to talk about your music. I just wanted to give people a sense of sort of your background as an actor, and I think that's you've got an impressive resume. Anybody who wants to look you up online. But we're really here to talk about your music. You want to talk briefly about how you, I mean, are you more a musician than an actor, and how you got involved in music?
I was a musician first, and I used to play in the I used to sit in the blues clubs in Minneapolis. There was a great blues scene in Minneapolis when I was growing up, and a great music scene, which has continued with Prince and all those guys and Morris Day and all. I was playing music in these teen bands and stuff, and then I don't know, I got into acting, you know, and I kept the music alive, and I made a movie a few years ago down, well, 20 years ago down in Austin, Texas, and I met Joe Ely and Jimmy Dale Gilmore and all these old-time Texas guys, you know, and I sang some of my songs. They said, "Damn, you're a hell of a Texas blues singer. You should get serious about this." So I did. And Jerry Jeff Walker was down there too, the guy who wrote Mr. Bojangles.
I'm good friends with him.
April's good friends with him.
I would say hi because Jerry Jeff was one of my inspirations, and so I'd go over to Jerry Jeff's house and we'd play music, and basically I just tried to
get on the mic, April.
Okay. And, I'm on.
And so we'd go over to Jerry Jeff's house, and you know, and sit around the pool and play music. And
yeah, love Jerry Jeff. We hang out every year in Belize.
Oh God! Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. We're cool. April and I are also from Minnesota originally.
Yeah, exactly.
Minnesota.
Yeah.
You betcha. Yeah, we are. Yeah, you betcha. Twin cities.
So he said you should get serious about this. So I did, and now.
So are you a blues guy?
I'm kind of blues alternative. You know, blues and alternative rock. It's like you know, I've sold about 40 songs to TV and movie. I'm in ASCAP.
Good
you
for
know,
you. Wow.
And the song that you heard talking about love, I just put in a movie, and you know. Cool. But I sing mostly about. I don't sing about blues because I'm not, you know, I'm not very blue. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, it don't strike me as a blue. Unless you have a blue period.
Well, I have a blue shirt on.
That's true.
And a tight pair of black jeans. Yeah, looking fine.
All right. So, is it you solo typically at these concerts? Do you have a band with you? Is it you and the band? How does that work?
99.99%. I always play with the band. I have a quartet, a snappy quartet, that's me playing. I play solos a bunch. You know, okay. I just played when I was in Minnesota, this last couple of weeks when we were recording my new album, Christmas Boogie. Christmas Boogie, then I played five different venues solo with a friend of mine, Paul Metza and Willie Walker, amazing guys. But I would come up but generally I'm with the band. I play with Eddie Baudin and all these guys down in Louisiana, you know. That's what I was making a movie down there, and I ran into those guys, and so, you know, Wayne Toops and Sean Vidrine, this amazing accordion player, is going to play with me. You have to come. Y'all have to come. On February 17th at House of Blues, it's Fat Tuesday, and we're the band. And I'm bringing
Fat Tuesday.
And I'm bringing in the guys from Lake Charles, Louisiana, the Cajun guys, and all we're going to throw that sheet down.
Right, careful. You said sheets, right?
I
said sheets.
I said
throw
ship,
those
actually. I said ship.
Ships down. I love that. Woo!
Captain Phillips
he
reference.
He was right there. He knows.
Yeah, okay.
We Googled it. Thanks to your next guest. He Googled it.
Hey, so let's do this, man. Let's play a song. I know you got a Christmas album coming out. I'd rather wait on that.
Yes.
And you want to open with, start with, you know, any particular song? I think you had mentioned,
Thinking About You is an interesting song because, you know, I've been married for like 33 years. You know, I got married when I was 1 year old.
Yeah.
And it was arranged marriage. It's how the Irish do it, I guess. But, you know, but it's that bit, you know, every time, you know, like, I'll have breakfast and I'll think about Karen. You know, I'll go for a walk and I'll think about, because you're always thinking about the one you love, or you know, and it's like, you know, I'm here, it's beautiful. I wonder what Karen would think, you know. It's like, so this is a song called Thinking About You, I guess.
Very nice.
You know, baby, we need to talk. Not to argue, but to celebrate. Yeah. If I could turn back the hands of time, you know I surely would. I'd hold you in my arms again, it would be all good. All the dreams you know I've had,
dreams of you. And every day I want to make those dreams come true. Can't stop thinking about you. Oh, yeah. Can't stop thinking about you. That felt good. Oh, that first trip we took, me and you. Mountains and the cities flew by, just us two. And that first room we had, bed for two. And the love we made that night made us laugh like fools. Can't stop thinking about you. Come on, Scott. Can't stop thinking about you. You did good. Check it out. Oh. If I could catch the sands of time, you know I surely would. I'd hold them in my hands, you know. It would be all good. All the dreams you know I had made them come true. And I thank the Lord above for giving me you, 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 you. Can't stop thinking about you, baby. Can't stop thinking about you. That's right, baby. Can't stop thinking about you. All the time. You're on my mind, baby.
Ooh, golf clap here. Very nice.
Yeah.
You know, if I had to describe that song to somebody, I'm not sure I could, but I kind of hear a little bit of Tom Waits.
Yeah, Tom Waits.
Is that a fair sort of comparison?
I love
comparison?
Tom Waits. Tom Waits is fantastic. He's huge inspiration.
And lyrically, Randy Newman, because Randy Newman has that fun sort of, you know, I'm telling a story. Why are you laughing?
Everybody says that.
Yeah.
Everybody says that. And Van Morrison's the next guy.
And Van Morrison as well, yeah.
Is that the Irish thing, Van Morrison?
I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know. Tom Waits is from San Diego, so isn't San Diego in Ireland?
Yeah, I think somewhere it is. In there, yeah. But you got such great personality, and I got to believe that on stage, you've got great stage presence as well. Is that fair of me to say?
Well, you know, some would say, yeah, we have a good time. My my piano player, Mark Marcelino, is a fantastic piano player. He says, Chris, we got really stick the music and stuff like that. You're talking a lot. And I said, Mark, we've been playing for 12 years, man. You know that this is not a musical act. It's a nightclub act, all right? I mean, come on now. And he just laughed.
Hey, is selling songs for movies, is that a... difficult process to go through, and can you actually make money off it?
Selling songs to movies and TV is like playing in the NFL, and you get injured too.
Yeah,
your ego.
But explain your analogy there.
I don't think we're gonna use that one, Chris. That's not the one we want to use. No, but people will just will call me up and they'll go, "Oh man, I heard that one song, and it was just it just inspired, and we just completely fit." And I made this movie with Tara Buck, it's called Best Driver in the County, and you can see it online. It's a beautiful, just a little short film that another Irishman directed, the director just called me up and said, "Oh my God, Talking About Love is the perfect song for this." And in the end of the movie, when they pull back and reveal this whole beautiful place, it is indeed.
Hey, we talked about this, Chris.
You know,
come on.
You know what? You know when you're making a cowboy movie, you know what happens? If you're riding along on in your horse and you're something
Do
like
you
that.
You have to
happens,
take the call?
And, no. Oh. And it's that was Walgreens. My prescription's ready.
I won't ask what kind of prescription.
It's a hard prescription to get. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, that was my wife saying, I'm listening to you. You sound great.
Yeah, well, you do sound great, you know? Funny. Hey, we had Jack Tempshin. We had Jack Tempshin in the studio. Jack Tempshin wrote a bunch of songs for the Eagles. He wrote Peaceful, Easy Feeling Gone and You Belong to the City. And we talked about the inspiration of, say, Peaceful, Easy Feeling, right? Uh-huh. Do you get inspired constantly to write songs? Are you just sort of on the road with your guitar and you're writing songs all the time? Or how does that work for you? How's that process work for you?
I have active list of riffs. I have a bunch of riffs that are hanging around a lot.
Yeah.
You
gonna play one?
You know, the stuff like that is, and that, like, or this one. That's really Stevie Wonder is what that is. I mean, really. But, you know, you get those riffs. And then usually then I'll see, like, I'll say, you know, I'll see something or somebody will say something. And then, like, I would love to play this song for you.
Okay.
Apropos, this is a great segue. We didn't talk about this at all. But it's really dead on. I was in Austin, Texas, playing with Mike Vernon, and of course I'm here courtesy of my friendship with Keith Taylor, who's a great musician and records all my CDs up in Fountain City, isn't it?
Fountain Valley.
My friend from Louisiana always calls it, man, are you still over at Keith's house out in Fountain City, California? That's Sean Vidrian.
I get to the story, though.
But anyhow, so we're down there with the Green Mesquite Barbecue, and we're talking about guitars. And I have like 12 guitars now, God bless me. And people have more, but I play all the mothers, okay? Exactly. They're not underneath the goddamn bed, you know. And so, of course, Mike Vernon has, I don't know how many guitars, and he says, you know, Chris, takes a bite of his sandwich, and he goes, no, Chris, basically guitars is just wood and wire. And I said, wood and wire? He said, God, you're going to write that damn song, aren't you?
And well, give us a taste of wood and wire.
Well, right from the start, it had my heart and soul. White pearl knobs and black enamel. Rocking like Chuck, rolling like thunder. Knocking down ladies with that heavy lumber. I know I'm preaching to the choir. Love that wooden wire. Wooden wire. We got a long history, I don't care about that. I want to roll to the club, I want to play with the cats. Riding my car with the radio on, you know I turn it up loud. Feel every song, I know I'm preaching to the choir. Love that wooden wire. Mercy. Cause it's a six-string plugging thing, let it ring, ding-a-ling. It's a jump ship, what a trip, gotta be too hip. I know I'm preaching to the choir. Love that wood and wire. Mercy.
Mercy.
You get one of these, you can be a star. Get tattoos, you've gone too far. Club by night and pool by day. You never stand in line and you never have to pay. I know I'm preaching to the choir. Love that wood and wire. Let him go. Can we play some? I know I'm preaching to the choir, baby, baby, baby.
Ba-ba-ba-ba.
Love that wood and wire. Gun for hire. Love that wire.
Woo! Nice. Golf clap. You've got to be one of the most uninhibited persons we've ever had in this studio.
Why, because I'm naked?
Hey, we're doing television, too. You did
There you go. Hey, Chris, Chris, how can people learn about you? Website, where can they see you next? Can you give us some of that background?
They can. All my music's on Spotify and iTunes and CD Baby, and you get all my Chris Mulkey and Deluxe Records on CD Baby, and you can download them directly to your mobile devices or anything. And
right.
You can just listen to my ship.
Yeah.
On Spotify, you can just listen to the whole thing, or you can just like, hit me. You can just email me online at chrismalky@verizon.net.
You sure you want to do that?
I have other accounts, baby.
Oh, okay.
I'm not out of my mind. I may look crazy. You know, James Brown says, I don't know karate, but I know crazy. Anyhow, but so I'm just out there like that. And,
that's beautiful.
You know, I'm on Facebook.
And where are you playing again this week? So people who want to go.
We're playing LA Live in downtown Los Angeles.
Great.
And then next Monday through the first of the year and into February, we play Monday nights at House of Blues. We're the house band Monday nights.
That sounds great.
7:30 to 9:30. They pay us, but you don't pay.
Wow.
What?
You know, we got to get you back into the studio and devote the full hour to you and your music. I think that would be a great show. Would you come back and do that for us?
I would love to. I'm just so thankful for being down here. And
thanks for coming down, Chris.
Yeah, I got 4 Christmas albums out. Christmas Boogie is the.
So you were going to take us out. Why don't you take us out? We're going to play about 30 seconds of a Christmas song. You want to play Spank Me Santa or a Christmas Boogie?
Well, you know, I'd rather play Spank Me Santa because that's my friend Chris Klein's song. I mean, we all, you know, arrangement, Brad, but he wrote this is his song, and it's Spank Me Santa, and it's what every kid needs, I think.
Chris Mulkey, KX93.5 FM, we're back in about 60 seconds. Go ahead, Chris.
When I was a boy, always up to no good, I was the meanest kid in the neighborhood. My mama said, son, listen to me. That fat old man take you right across his knee. I said, spank me, Santa, make it rough. I'm always naughty, I can't get enough. Spank me, Santa, cross your knee. Bare naked across the tree. I don't deserve no Christmas stuff. Spank me, Santa, make it rough. Got a little older, but I stayed the same. Born by the river that's washed to the sea. Never had much, just what he need. Traded his house for a paycheck. Always believed in the miracle of what's next. Everyday man, everyday man, doing what he can, get it done by hand, every day, man. School of hard knocks, you know we learn by mistake. Family and country always failed to wait. Found the right girl, took her hand, yes it did. Solemn promise to be her everyday man, everyday man, everyday man, doing what he can, get it done by hand, everyday man. Thank you.
everyday man. Everyday man. Doing what he can, get it done by hand. Everyday man. Money may come, the children will go. I'm just trying to keep this car on the road.
All right, you're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes. This, of course, is Radio Caravan. I'm here in the studio with my co-host, Jim Bastian. What did you think of Chris Mulkey?
Quite a character.
Wow, man. I bet you he's a lot of fun. Just
yeah. No, that house band stuff on Mondays must be pretty awesome.
Yeah. A lot of personality. Hey, so we're making a really sort of abrupt transition here. We have in the studio now Jim. Jim, pronounce your last name for me.
McAleer,
who's president of the Alzheimer's Association Orange County. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Wing Lam, who's founder owner of Wahoo's Fish Taco Restaurants. And, guys, thanks for coming in this morning to talk about your organization and your association.
How did we get in here together?
I have no idea.
It was a struggle.
Odd association.
But anyway, hey, so Alzheimer's is so interesting to me because I have two parents who both suffer from it, right? My mom has a hard time remembering 5 minutes ago, and my dad has a hard time remembering phrases and words and this sort of thing. And so I guess my first question is, Jim, you know, why should we put out so much effort to raise funds for a disease that has yet found a cure?
Well, I think you answered your question the way you asked it. If you don't put funds into research for a disease, you're not going to cure that disease. So you're only going to be faced with the problems. If you look at what we did to cancer in the 70s, that's when we first started really funding it. We fund cancer about 10 times more than we fund Alzheimer's. And if you look at the survival rates for cancer have quadrupled every 5 years. Hmm. So if we could do that with Alzheimer's disease, you're talking about a disease condition that affects people after 65. It gets more at 75, 1 in 2 at 85. Well, if you buy people 10 years at 85, that's a pretty important 10 years, right? So if we could put some money into delaying the progression of this disease or slowing down its onset, it's really leveraged. It's also a really expensive disease, so you save money.
So to that point, when you raise the money, where does it go exactly? What does the research look like, and where do you focus on putting your dollars from your organization?
You know, for us, it goes into two different buckets. If money goes to research, it gets pooled with all the other money in research in the country, and our national organization gives it literally to the best minds of the world. So we're really proud of that. We're the largest private funders of research in the world. Locally, we use the dollars that are given to us to run a 24/7 helpline. We can answer it in 144 languages, not me personally, but we can. We have, 47 support groups now. We do a tremendous amount of caregiver education. Most of our folks who have dementia of any kind are cared for at home by a loved one, right? So they have to know how to do it. It doesn't come with a manual when you get this disease. So we're your manual. And we don't ever, ever, ever charge a family member or person with disease for any of our programs or services. So to do that, we have to hit you up for the dollars and cents now and again.
Yeah. I mean, the website, if you've gone to the website, which I have, is impressive. It's a massive amount of resources available to people who suffer from Alzheimer's, but more importantly, perhaps, those of us who are the caretakers of people who suffer from Alzheimer's.
You know, I think these days we probably serve more people who are caregivers than we serve people with the disease. It's changing, though. Mm-hmm. As we diagnose people earlier and earlier, as people are more and more aware, gee, I have a memory problem, let me go check my doctor. Used to be, gosh, I'm getting older, I'm going to have memory problems. Well, now we don't accept it quite so easily. So we're getting people early and early in the disease where they can still participate in their own therapy and their own in what they need. So we're dealing with both. But still, it is largely caregivers that we support.
Is it possible to slow down the Alzheimer's process?
Absolutely.
And how is that on meds? Or
you know what research tells us? The meds we have don't slow down the process. Mm-hmm. They can help with some of the symptoms. What research is pretty clear about is three things do help slow the progression or the onset. And one of them actually relates to my friend Wing here. Diet. A Mediterranean diet, nuts, fibers, grains, fruits, vegetables, fish oil, omega-3 fatty acids, as found in fish tacos,
right? We're going to get to you, Wing, I promise.
But that stuff really helps. Losing that excess weight really helps. So diet's important. Exercise, staying physically active at least 20 minutes three times a week really helps. And staying socially and mentally engaged.
Yeah.
That's important. If you stop mentally, you stop mentally. So staying active in your brain is important.
So, Jim, you see a lot about these brain games that are online and different websites to promote brain health. What do you think about those in concert with what you do?
You know, it's really interesting. The research doesn't say for sure that those help with Alzheimer's, right? But that, if you look at the way the research is kind of written, they probably, and I'd say probably at 97.7%, really do help. So Sudoku, those kinds of things are great. What's really important, though, is to change it up. If you've been doing crosswords for 50 years, right, pick up Sudoku. If you're a dancer, pick up a new dance. You know, change the hands you brush your teeth with. You'll get toothpaste on your mirror, but it will cause you to stop and think.
Yeah. Right, right.
Hey, Wing Lam, man, you have such a unique position in the communities, and you and your company support a lot of organizations around the county, and I got to believe that there are so many people who are appreciative of all the work that you do on that level.
Thanks.
Why Alzheimer's for you?
Well, like I said, it's probably the closest because, you know, when we talk about all the different activities, your weight, obviously the health, wellness part of it is big for us. Mm-hmm. So we happen to be one of the few restaurants that specialize in fish tacos and at an affordable price point. A lot of restaurants sell fish, but, you know, we're at a really affordable price point. Yeah. So the wellness, I mean, it's a great tie-in for us. And basically, you know, Jim asked us, hey, can we get people to the walks? So, you know, we create, you know, visible billboards. We have lots of restaurants in Southern California.
Right.
So not only the food, the billboards, the awareness, and anything that we can do to help drive traffic to the walks.
How many restaurants do you have, by the way?
We have almost 35 restaurants in Southern California.
Wow. And you started your company back in 1988.
With one.
The one in Costa Mesa?
One in Costa Mesa.
Which is still asking you for more money.
Well, I was going to say that, Wing, you're all over the place on this cause right
yes.
now. I mean, I know you support a lot of stuff. Yep. PCRF, we've been involved with you in that. So, but you put your face out there on this, and very visible. Why the difference here on this particular one?
Well, because basically, I mean, looking for partners in the community. I mean, when you talk about Dennis Cool, some of the other prominent business, you know, Jim Doty from Chapman. So we kind of represent different buckets of spheres of influence. So I may be, you know, more of the people that are thinking healthy, eating, whatever. So they're thinking about it. Oh, hey, why not keep doing this? Because it may help prevent Alzheimer's.
Right. Both things, right? Promote the business and a great cause at the same time.
So talk to me about the walk. This was it the Go Purple?
The Go Purple campaign was launched our walk season, right?
Yeah.
So the Go Purple campaign had a ton of folks in town, including Jim Doty from Chapman, Dennis Cole, chairman of the Board of the Angels, my friend Wing here. It launched our walk season. We had four walks. The biggest was at Angel Stadium. We had about 8,500 people celebrating. I know it sounds kind of strange, but we really were.
No.
We raised a little over $900,000. So you can imagine what our goal is next year. It's pretty easy. We're going to hit a million with my friend Wings.
On the four walks, you raised $900,000?
Mm-hmm, we did.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a really good year for us. It was about 17% higher than last year. And part of that, I think, is because people understand we're here, and they know we're here because of, again, folks like Wing and his friends who help raise the visibility.
So the Go Purple, you know, pink is everywhere. Yeah, NFL, obviously, you see that in the month of October. Everyone, obviously, supports women's health and breast cancer issues. Talk about purple specifically and where that might go in terms of seeing that color in other settings.
You know, if you drive down the 405, you'll see our building just south of John Wayne.
Right.
There's a giant purple arch. I think you can see it from space. That was the intention. You know, we're trying to brand purple just as Komen brilliantly did with pink so that people, when they see it, they think of us, of course. So you're going to see it in ads. You probably already have. You're going to see it on TV. Cox has given us some time. And you'll see it certainly everywhere we are, because three-dimensional advertising is probably our most powerful and most poignant. So you're going to see a lot of T-shirts, and you'll see it in a lot of Wahoo's stores.
My shirt color today was not unintentional.
No, I figured that. I just sort of noticed that, and I thought, that's nice. That was a good call. Yeah. I should have done the same thing, but I didn't. Wing, did you participate in the walks?
Yes, I did.
And what was that experience like for you?
It's just fun to be there amongst all your friends. It turned out, which, again, you don't talk about a lot of this stuff off, you know, during the other parts of the year, but turns out one of our constructions maintenance guys, Danny, his in-laws are affected. So we were there at the Laguna Hills Walk, and there's the whole family. And I'm like, what are you doing here? He goes, well, I know. He knew that I was part of it. I didn't know why he was there. He goes, well, we have a family member, you know.
Yeah. I got a Dwayne, do you show up to work this way? Is this your lifestyle?
Much. Yeah, this is it. Flip-flops. Yes.
I love that, man. That's great. Okay, here's what we're going to do. I've got some other questions to come back to ask you. I want to take a one-minute musical break. April, get on the mic for me for a second here.
Yeah.
We picked two songs in particular for this segment. Which one do you want to play?
We did. I actually picked three, but there's a Glenn Campbell song, I'm Not Going to Miss You, Dixie Chick's Silent Host.
Yeah.
And a Kenny Chesney song.
Any preferences here, gentlemen?
Glenn Campbell.
Glenn Campbell, yeah, it is. Okay. Are you listening to KX 93.5, Laguna's Only FM? I'm Scott Hayes. This is Radio Caravan. We're back in 60 seconds.
I'm still here, but yet I'm gone. I don't play guitar or sing my songs. It never defined who I am. The man that loved you till the end. And I will love. You're the last face I will recall. And best of all, I'm not gonna miss you. Not gonna miss you. I say I love you to the kill. You're never gonna see it in my eyes. It's not gonna hurt me when you cry. I'm never gonna know what you go through.
Listening to KX 93.5 Laguna's Only FM. I'm Scott Hayes. This is Radio Caravan. I'm in the studio this morning with my co-host Jim Bastian. And that was Glenn Campbell's song about Alzheimer's or suffering from Alzheimer's. And just a reminder, in the studio we have Jim McAleer.
Well done.
Gosh, that's a hard one for me. I don't know why. President of Alzheimer's Orange County. And of course, Wing Lam, who's founder owners of the Wahoo's Fish Taco Restaurants. And Jim, you were talking a moment ago about this documentary about Glenn Campbell. Can you kind of express that?
Yeah, sure. It's really powerful. I mean, the documentary talks about Glenn and his family's kind of journey through this disease, most particularly a tour he did the United States performing while having dementia. So you would see scenes of him backstage where he really couldn't kind of keep conversations together, couldn't remember what was going on, couldn't really talk well to people. He would go out on stage and the lights went on. I mean, literally, the lights went on. He would just sing brilliantly and beautifully. Now, occasionally, he would repeat a song.
Yeah.
Or he would say, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But the performer absolutely shined through the disease. It was absolutely amazing. Towards the end of that tour, he wasn't able to complete absolutely everything, and they had to cut it a little bit short. Right. But it is a really good story of how people can really survive and thrive through this disease.
Wing, I'm going to come back to you in about 30 seconds. Jim, I wanted to ask, we were talking about the fact that we had Max Gardner in our show, I would say about 6 months ago or so, president, CEO of Orange County United Way, and he was talking about this changing attitude in the philanthropic world about how do you create social change in a new complex world. You were just talking a moment ago that your organization raised another 17% more this year on your walks. What did you do differently, or what advice you could give other nonprofits out there who are looking to sort of raise the bar in their income?
You know, I think Max
is, fundraising.
Well, I think Max is right, actually. The world is changing, and it's changing, I think, in two distinct buckets. Millennials, younger donors, want to be involved in their donation. They don't want to just give you a dollar. Yeah. They want to help raise it. They want to match it with some of their dollars, and they want to volunteer their time. They want to contribute both physically and with money. For more seasoned donors, if you will, those folks want to see outcomes.
Right.
They want to know what their dollar is going to generate that's going to change something. Rather than just feeding the homeless, what is it going to do so that next year's there are fewer homeless people, right? That kind of social change is what they want to drive with their dollars.
Well, so how do you measure outcomes when it comes to a disease that has yet to come up with a cure?
You have to balance what dollars go to research while you're taking care of people today.
Gotcha.
And the care you give people today, you have to look at and say, how is it leveraged? So, for example, if I can teach somebody how to care for somebody in their home longer, their quality of life goes up. It's a much more leveraged thing than just taking care of them, for example, for one day.
Yeah.
Right?
Wing, I got to believe your culture at your company is pretty young, yes?
Yes.
And do you find, you know, what Jim is saying here, that the sort of the younger generation wants to get more involved in these types of nonprofit organizations?
Yeah, pretty much as we call it, you know, you got to have skin in the game, right? So the more engaged you are, the more you're going to do. So, I mean, you're seeing, you know, every generation now, it doesn't matter what age they're in, it's they want to be involved. They want to have something. And part of it also is, you know, there is, quote unquote, part of a requirement in the school system to do some kind of philanthropic work for your school application.
Yeah.
So there's that little bit. But then the kids that get that, and then they take it to another level.
Right.
They just don't want to give 5 hours a week. They want to say, well, what can I do with my 5 hours and really make a difference and then rally other students and really, like, take some kind of leadership role in the process.
Beautiful.
So, Wing, you do so much in the community, and, you know, thank you for the organizations that I'm part of that you support. How do you decide as a company? And is it just by feel? Is it relationships? Is it the cause?
As a company, we like to think that, you know, obviously anything to do with wellness, because eating is a big part of, you know, I think some people say 80% of what you are is based on what you eat, not so much exercise. The other part is obviously with kids. That's why we do a lot with PCRF. But the biggest bucket comes with guys like this guy, because, you know, we can spend our time with a lot of people. You know, at the end of the day, it is our time. So if the other, you know, organization doesn't see it, doesn't basically thank us and look at us as more of a partner as opposed to just money walking in the door, right? Because we do have the money, but, you know, appreciate us for, you know, donating our weekends, our nights, and whatever we can do, our PSAs.
So, Jim, to that point, what's the relationship been for you, and what are some of the highlights of working with Wing and Wahoos?
You know, I was thinking about it actually on my way in this morning. I think we've known each other now for almost 6 years.
Yep.
And it's really interesting because in our world, you don't really have donors. You have people who become personal relationships, become friends, right? So what Wing does brilliantly is offer advice, frankly. He's built a brand that's just flipping awesome, and he's really helped us build our brand. So our Go Purple campaign is partly built off of advice Wing gave us. He was sitting out waiting on this interview telling me how to build a relationship with a local sports team. I mean, that kind of stuff is invaluable to us. That's not my background. I'm a fundraiser and a nonprofit guy. I'm not a market guru. Well, he is.
Yeah.
So I'm shamelessly picking his brain.
So we got 2 minutes. I want to do what I call a lightning round. So just give me your quick one-liners here if you can, or maybe two sentences. Wing, what advice can you give other businesses who might want to leverage their own sort of knowledge and resources to give back to the community?
Well, you know, obviously the first and foremost, you know, we say find something that, you know, kind of is passion, you know, that drives you. But more important, find key strategic partners that can benefit from the relationship that you're having, because it's an easy ask for money, but what are they going to give in return for the money?
Beautiful. Yeah. Jim, how do you go about measuring success? One-liner or two?
Increased quality of life, and I listen a lot to what people tell me.
Great. Any events in the near future we should know about?
Absolutely. We've got a gala coming up in March, and we have a Reason to Hope breakfast in January. All you have to do is go to ALZ.org to hear all about it.
I was just going to ask about the website, how would you suggest people get more involved in your organization?
Well, that website's a great spot. It's got all kinds of volunteer opportunities, or you can call 949-955-9000, 949-955-9000. That's my radio voice, and we'll tell you everything we can about how to get involved, both with dollars, time, and also if you need help. Most importantly,
beautiful,
if you're battling this, call us.
Jim McAleer, also Wing Lam in the studio of the Alzheimer's Association Orange County. Thank you both for spending time this morning, coming in and sharing with us your knowledge. Appreciate it. Really do.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. You've been listening to KX93.5, Laguna's Only FM. This, of course, is Radio Caravan. On behalf of myself, Scott Hayes, my co-host Jim Bastian, we'll see you next week. April, you want to take us out of here with a little music?